All right. There's a special request from the young ones. They want to come and do something. So I'm just going to waffle along here for the next 5 minutes and give them the opportunity to... Okay, so there's this turtle. All right, before I tell you all about the turtle, please don't sit on the, what do you call that stuff? Windowsills, because some of them are broken and we fixed them this morning, but the cement is still wet. And if you go and sit on it, it's just going to break again. So there's this turtle. And he starts climbing up the tree. I know that's weird, but in jokes, things work. Okay, so he starts climbing up the tree. Being a turtle, it takes him forever. And he battles something chronic. He's got his little turtle paws up there, or whatever you call them, flippers. He's got his little flippers around the tree, and he's like the little train that could, you know. Ek weet, ek kan, ek, you know, he's going. And eventually he gets up there to the middle of the tree, and there's a big branch that goes out, and he walks onto the branch, gets to the edge of the branch, starts jumping, spreads his little flippers wide. He falls down. Luckily, by the grace of God, there was a whole heap of dry leaves. He falls into the leaves. The next moment, he starts walking back to the tree. He repeats the whole process. Grabs the branch, the bark, starts dragging himself up. Takes him forever to get to the top. But he will not be deterred and he will not be discouraged. Walks to the edge, takes a nice jump, spreads his little flippers wide, falls down. Starts moving back again. Okay, you get the idea. This happened quite a few times. There's two birds standing there watching this. The one bird looks at the other bird, says, "Listen, yeah, I don't want to be funny, but I think it's time we told him he's adopted." Amen. Yeah, well, praise God. shame, yes. All right, they're going to do it later. Okay. All right, we're going to do it later. Where is my... Before I start with today's message, let's just talk a little bit about time. You know, time is something that we sometimes think we got a lot, but then certain realities can hit us and we realize we don't have that much time. How many of you have got grown-up kids? Doesn't it feel like just yesterday that they were this small? You see, time, even though it feels like it takes forever, it's also gone in the twinkling of an eye. And what we do with our time is very important. And you know, we must be careful because we can squander our time very easily and very quickly on rubbish things. And the things that matter are family. It's relationships. Those are the things that we should spend more time with. I want to say respectfully, Facebook is not family. That's just playing around. The people around you is family. And you know, the other day I went to a restaurant and I sat there and there was a group of people, probably about 15 people. And you know what? Not one person was talking to another person. Everybody was on their phone. And I just looked at that and I thought to myself, you know what? It's really sad what this world has become to. Because that's not the way God wants things to be. And that's why people, that's why we have so many problems. Because we don't have time for one another anymore. It's more important to spend time with the people around you than to spend time with an electronic piece of equipment. Amen? Today I want to read you from the book of Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6 to 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. Let them turn to our God for he will freely pardon. You might not see that right now, but this scripture speaks about time. It says, while you have time, there are certain things that you could and should do, because there might come a day when there's nothing that you can do. You know, I want to speak to every parent here. Spend the time with your children. Be involved in their life, because there's going to come a day when before your very eyes they are grown up and they don't want to spend time with you anymore. And for you to then want to spend time with them, they're thinking, what's wrong with you? You know, no, man, come on. You're not like that. Why do you want to be like this with me now? And because the foundation wasn't good in the beginning, you can't fix it. You know, when a tree is very big and grown, we can't take it out of there and put it somewhere else. It's probably going to die. Listen to the scripture. Seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, while it is possible. And this is not just today I want to preach this, but I'm not going to talk just about your relationship with God. I want to talk about your relationship with your family, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your wife or your husband or whatever. The things that really matter. You know, sometimes we can be so busy with things that have no eternal value. And you know, that's exactly how the devil likes to operate. He wants to get you busy with stupid, ridiculous things that's not going to matter in the bigger scheme of things. And we should not be that stupid. You know what? God didn't create nobody stupid in this place. And if people have been calling you stupid, they're liars. Finished and clear. Because God doesn't make stupid people. But people make stupid decisions. And that's where that comes from. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. We have grown up in a world where we are told that we should respect people's boundaries. You know, like this ridiculous thing now that, oh, we're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. We must say Happy Festive Season or something stupid like that. You know what? I don't want to be funny, but as a Christian, we don't have to respect none of that nonsense. We stand for what we stand. You know what? If you can't stand for Christ, Christ one day will say, depart from me. I do not know you. Let's learn these things right here, right now. The Bible says some people will come to Christ and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will look at them and say, who are you? Excuse me. If you could not respect me in front of people, I cannot respect you. We are children of God, we are Christians, and we are not ashamed for people to know who we are. We apparently need to strive to be politically correct at all times. What rubbish is that? You don't need to be politically correct, you must be godly correct. That's the only thing that really matters. You think God is going to care whether you supported this or that one day when you get to heaven? I don't think so. But he's going to care whether you supported him and his son. Whatever you do, apparently we're not supposed to challenge people on what they believe or on their religious views. It's true, isn't it? You know, we're not allowed to have prayer opening in the schools anymore because some clever oak came up with the idea that that is infringing on other people's human rights. With all due respect, everybody has the human right to go to heaven one day, but they don't know that. If somebody doesn't talk to them about that, then there's going to be a problem. Apparently, everybody now has boundaries. And to some extent, I understand that we should have boundaries, but when it comes to the life of somebody, when it comes to the future of somebody, they have the right to know. Whereas in a worldly sense, you should apparently leave people pretty much to their own beliefs, their own views. God's view is very different. You know, God and the government don't agree on a lot of things. The government might think they're right, but even they will stand before God one day. And time will tell who was right and who was wrong. The central message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is all, guess about what? The central message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about change. Jesus preached about repentance as a criteria to enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to understand something. The word of God makes it very plain. You will not enter the kingdom of God unless you are willing to change. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know what it is that you're supposed to change? Well, till somebody doesn't teach you, you don't know. You know that neighbor of yours that gets drunk as a skunk? Mr. Victor, where are you? Did he run away? Where is he? He's so small I can't see him. There we go. I want to tell you something. Your wife is very happy that you repented, but your neighbor is even happier. He's like, wow, praise God. But I love you lots, eh? My best friend, Mr. Victor over there. You see, here's the thing. Do you mind if I use you as an example? You're used to that by now, aren't you? It's out there already. Now, here's the thing. You know, Victor had a lot of things in his life that was wrong, but you didn't necessarily see it that way, did you? But he needed somebody to come and teach him that it was wrong. You know, Mr. Victor encountered the fivefold ministry. Do you know what the fivefold ministry is? It worked like a bomb, didn't it? I'm telling you. I mean, it's now, what, 10 weeks later and you're still coming to church. Hey. You know, God clubbed that demon right out of you, didn't he? But here's my point that I'm trying to make. There was a lot of things that needed to change in his life, but until he wasn't confronted with the reality of that, how would he ever know to change it? Somebody had to talk to him. Somebody had to have the guts to say to him, hey, pal, you're wrong. That's not the way to do things. This is how things should be done. And let me ask you a question. You brought in a couple of changes in your life. Amen? I mean, apparently your wife has been testifying how big a change there is in you. And I'm very glad and I'm very blessed to hear that. Don't you think your life is better now? Okay, so in other words, we had to come and infringe on your so-called boundaries to get you to the place that you were willing to change. Amen? If I respected his boundaries, oh, but you know what? Oh, I can't touch there. You know, I can't talk to the man. You know what? It's his family. I'm not going to interfere. Where would he be today? He would still be an alcoholic. But he's not. Do you know why? Because I didn't care about his boundaries. Because the Word of God doesn't care about those boundaries. God says, talk to my people. Preach the message of repentance. You know what? Some people are not going to care. That's fine. Then you've done your work. But you also can't sit back and say, oh, well, you know, in Afrikaans, ons laat God's water oor God's akker loop. You know, it's like, whatever must be. No. People's lives will change because other people care enough to get involved. To say, listen, yeah, but this is not right. This needs to change. So the central message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of repentance. And repentance means change. And can I tell you why a lot of people are opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because they don't want to change. But you know what? Everybody needs to change. We've all got some area in our life where something is not right, where we need to look at that and say, oh, but you know what? Yes, it's true. I am wrong. I should change. I should change the way I speak. I should change the way I think. I should change the way I act. I should change the way I treat people. Let's talk about the tongue just very quickly. What is your worst enemy right now? Just go like this. That's your worst enemy. It's not your mother-in-law, it's not your brother-in-law, it's not your neighbor, it's not your boss. It's what comes out of your mouth, because the Bible says life and death is in your tongue, not somebody else's. You know, some of us, we cursed because of what somebody says. Most of us are cursed because of what we say. So somebody has to come to the place to say to you, listen, yeah, that is wrong. You should change. Because when we change, things get better. When we bring godly change into our life, things get better. We go forward. Mark chapter 1 verse 14 says, after John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. Do you hear that? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, I have good news for you. Now, do you want to know what the good news is?
Yes.
Okay, you just told your neighbor you have good news. Now, look at them and say, it's time for you to change. Listen carefully. The good news that Jesus brings is everybody can change if we want to. I want to talk to every father in this place. You can all be good fathers. I want to talk to every mother in this place. You can all be good mothers. You can all be good wives. Look at the big smile he's got on his face right now. It's like, oh, I'm so glad my wife came here today. You can clap him later. No, don't clap him. Don't clap him. Check her, give him a big wallop and say, oh, the pastor said, no, I was joking. We can all be good husbands, we can all be good wives, we can all be good mothers, we can all be good fathers, and by the grace of God, we can all be good children. But probably to get to that place, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to swallow our pride, because you know, some of us have this attitude, we're always right, no? Pride is a sin, and the Bible says pride comes before the fall. Nobody likes to fall. Does anybody here like to fall? No, we don't. That reminds me, when I was younger, my dad is, yeah, he can confirm. We had a chopper. Did any of you ever have a chopper? It was this weird looking bike. It had a big tire at the back and a very small tire at the front, and it looked a bit like a Harley Davidson. It was like a mean looking thing. The problem was, I don't know who designed it, but they should fire that up because it was extremely unstable at speed. When you got up to a certain speed, it would start wobbling. And then it goes into this uncontrollable wobble. And quite a few times, both me and my brother, we came short big time on that thing. And I remember many a time that I had my knees all open and my fingers all open, and my brother, it was just horrible. And I remember the feeling when I used to fall with that bike, it was not nice. Well, it's the same when you fall in life. You know, it's not nice to fall. And sometimes the Word of God is trying to help us not to fall. And sometimes we are the reason why we fall, because we kind of know the truth. Somebody has spoken to us and we were like, that's not me. Now, I don't have to do it now. Listen to what that scripture says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because guess what? Tomorrow, it might be too late. Tomorrow, you might fall and battle to get up. Some people fall and they never get back up. Mark chapter 1 verse 14. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Now repent and believe the good news. Repent means change. Accept the fact that you're not right. Accept the fact that there's things that you need to change. Embrace it because it's good news. Do you know how you save families? Do you know how you save relationships? When you humble yourself and you change. Amen? Is it right or is it wrong? We have to embrace the fact that God wants us to change. You know, maybe God wants you to spend less time in front of the computer and more time with your family. Maybe God wants you to spend less time out with the buddies and more time with your wife or your husband or your kids or whatever the case might be. Maybe that's part of what God wants to talk to you about today. The word repentance refers to a complete change, a turnaround in your life. Let's talk about offense. Nobody likes to be told that they are wrong. That's just one of those things. When you tell somebody they're wrong, you make an enemy. It's like, who are you to tell me that? In fact, it is often a sure way to ruin a relationship when you tell somebody that they are wrong. But if you like, now I just want to stretch your thinking a bit. If you like, the central message of the gospel that Jesus preached is he was constantly telling man, you are wrong. Amen? Because if you are not wrong, why would you have to repent? The way we do things outside of the kingdom of God is often completely wrong when we come into the kingdom of God. There's a way that is acceptable to the world, but when you bring that way into the kingdom of God, you are wrong and you have to change. You have to adapt to the kingdom. Man in his natural state without God is quite prone to doing the following things. Listen and see if you agree. We lust, we get angry, we are filled with violence and bitterness, we lie, we are deceitful, sexual immorality, unforgiveness, drunkenness, adultery, debauchery, discord, jealousy, envy, selfishness, etc., etc., etc. Everybody in this room has been guilty of some of those things because in our natural state, that's the way we are. Oh, I feel like getting angry. There I get angry. Oh, I feel like telling a lie. Let me tell a lie. I don't want to get into trouble, so I'm just going to spin a story. Raise your hands if you've never done that. The absence of hands means that you are all wrong. It's time to change. I didn't raise my hand. So this is exactly the problem. These are the things that sometimes we bring into our life. We just quickly do this and quickly do that. That brings us into a wrong standing with God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Do you hear that? What pushes us away from God? Does God push himself away from us? No. The Bible says the things that we allow in our lives tend to push us away from God. Can I tell you something about God? God is the healer. If you push yourself away from the healer, don't wonder why you don't get healed. Do you know who God is? God is the provider. If you push yourself away from the provider, don't cry when you have lack. Can I tell you what else? God is the savior. What do we need to be saved from? There's only one thing you need to be saved from, and that's the devil. So if the devil is very busy in your life and you've been pushing yourself away from God, don't cry, because God only can protect you from the enemy. So the Bible says, Isaiah 59 verse 2, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. The things where you say, I don't want to change, is what pushes you away from God. But I have some good news for you today. If you understand that is not necessary. And if you understand that it is important for you to change, then you are probably going to start coming back to God. Galatians 5:19 says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I have before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if we don't deal with these things in our life, God says we're going to have a problem. So God and sin, they don't mix. As long as we have pride in our heart, as long as we say, I don't need to change, I'm fine, we're going to have a problem. Regardless of the fact that people don't like to be offended, the truth is many people's lives right now are not right with God. And I want to tell you that there are some people sitting here today, your life is not right with God. No, I'm not a fortune teller. I just know human nature. We pat ourselves on the shoulder and we say, because I go to church, I'm actually okay. No, you're not. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And it's time for us to confront the reality. Either you don't really know God at all, or you have wandered away from God. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Isaiah 55 verse 6 makes one thing very abundantly clear. It is foolish for us to believe that we will have ample time for man to find God. You know, we've had people in this ministry that God spoke to them over and over again about certain things in their life. I'm not talking once, I'm not talking twice, I'm not talking 20 times. Where I know that the Spirit of God spoke directly to people about their lives and about certain things that they were doing, and they were like, whatever. And can I tell you something? Situations blew up and things went very bad. You know, God knows that there's a time limit on things. You can't push your luck forever and just think everything is going to be fine. There comes a time when you've run out of time. And then the pawpaw hits the fan, and sometimes there's nothing you can do to fix it when it's gone that way. So today, when you hear God's voice, the Bible says, do not harden your heart. And do not say, you know what, I've got plenty of time, because you don't know the future, do you? And if you do know the future, come, I'll cast that demon of divination out of you and you'll stop knowing. The future belongs to God and to God only. And when God talks to you today, it's to protect your future. I want to ask you a question. How many times do you go to church and you hear a good sermon and you walk out there like, oh wow, that was a good sermon. The pastor spoke to me today. But you never change. You never repent to bring yourself in line with that message. You're playing with the grace of God. This scripture makes one thing clear. There will come a day when the grace of God will run out for you. And then, boom, something is going to happen. And you know, then we get upset and we blame God and we blame the church and we're like, oh, this is unfair. Oh, this, why would God allow this in my life, my friend? It never comes to that point. 1, 2, 3. It takes time. But while God is still speaking to you, while God is still instructing you, if you choose to humble yourself, if you choose to repent, which means if you choose to change and honor God, things are going to be okay. It's when we have this attitude of, I'm not ready for this. I'm not going to do this now. It's not that bad. That's when the pawpaw will hit the fan. Because God's not going to keep speaking to you. You know why the flood happened? Because God grew tired of speaking to man. You know what? God is just like any father. If my kids keep pushing my buttons, I'm going to lose it at some point in time. God's the same. He doesn't like it when you just... Whatever. At some point in time, the grace of God runs out. I'm going to repeat. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The implication is clear. There's going to come a time when you want to... Now I want to sort things out. Then God's like, too late. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm giving you a reality check. It's time for us to look at our lives different. It's foolish to believe that there is ample time for man to find God or to sort out your life. None of us knows the future. And nobody can predict exactly what is in store for you tomorrow or the day after. The implication is very clear. If you are not careful, there will come a time when you do seek God, when you want to change things, when you want to make things right, and there's no more time. Time has run out for you. So don't leave it for tomorrow. If God is speaking to you today about something in your life, do not leave it for tomorrow. Do not go like, ah, you know what? I'm young. I've got plenty of time. How many young people do we know that ended up 6 foot under? Did they know that they were going to go? No, they didn't. They were eating and drinking and making merry, and the next thing they just didn't wake up, or something really bad happened. But the fact of the matter is, today, while you can do something good, today, while you can make some changes, choose to do it and your life will be fine. But when the Spirit of God is speaking to you, when a message speaks to you, when God touches your heart and He wants to bring some changes into your life, it is to better you. You know, a lot of people have this thing like, oh, you know, this is controlling my life. I'm also allowed to have some fun, this, that, what. Listen, yeah. I've said this before and I want to say it again. What is the purpose of the boundaries that God puts there? Is it to keep you in or is it to keep the rubbish out? You know what? A lot of us, this is where we make a big mistake. Oh, the Word of God says, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, I can't live my life. Oh, I can't have any fun. No, you can. But God gives good, solid boundaries to protect you. Because you know what? When you overstep those boundaries, you're going to have problems. There's a scripture that says, when you break through a hedge, you will be bitten by a snake. What is the purpose of the hedge? The hedge is there for protection. God warns us, when you break through the hedge, the snake is waiting on the other side to bite you. Let's take an example. Alcohol. If we mess around with it too much, what's going to happen? Well, let's ask the question, can you control yourself when you're drunk? Well, I'm sorry if you think you can, because I know that you can't. Because life is full of people that have messed up their family, messed up their life, messed up their work situation, because they messed with something that eventually will control them, not them control it. It's the same with the tongue. You know, a loose tongue is a very dangerous thing. And one day you're still going to be busy, and the next thing you know, nobody wants to be in your sphere of influence anymore, because you've just burned every bridge. When God speaks to us about stuff, it's time for us to take it to heart and to bring about those changes. Let's talk about procrastination. Many of us are quite good at procrastinating. For those of you that don't know what that big word means, it's like, I'll do it tomorrow. I've got plenty of time. No, I don't have to do it now. Mr. Wilson, do you have that chocho? We'll pray for it just now. It's okay. You don't have to be chomping with it. You can kick it out. Make a change today. Say again? You had it. Okay, your mom says it's still hanging around.
I think
you forgot it. No, we'll sort that out later. Many of us are quite good at procrastinating. You know you got to do something, but I can't be bothered now. That simply means constantly putting something off when you know it is getting critical. You have to do it. And I can understand procrastination when you have to, for example, mow the lawn. I mean, like, if you live on a property like mine, you know, with all due respect, you got a tiny little piece of land to cut. Me, I've got 5 acres. It's a lot. I can understand when you procrastinate because you have to do a whole addition to your house. And it's like, oh, that's going to be a lot of work. But what is difficult to understand, and you know what, sometimes you just don't have the money. What is difficult to explain is why so many people procrastinate when it comes to things that's going to cost them nothing. It's also not really going to take any time. Like changing their relationship with their son or their daughter or their father or their mother or their husband or their wife or the church or God. Changing themselves. We don't have to procrastinate because it's not that difficult. I want to tell you something. It's a lot more difficult to go and mow 10 acres of lawn because it starts with just a decision. When you make that decision and you make it in your heart, when you humble yourself and you come before God and you say, Lord, you know what? I realize now that you've been talking to me, I'm wrong. My arrogance has to go. It's time for it to go. My stubbornness has to go. It's time for it to go. God will work with you. He doesn't expect you to do it all alone, but He expects you to make a decision. The Bible says, seek God while He may be found. Why would you seek God? Because He has to help you to change. Some of us, we've been in church for a long time. God's been speaking to us about things. We put it off, put it off. What if tomorrow you don't have the chance to change it? What if tomorrow something really bad is going to blow up? Because I want to tell you something, when you dance with the devil, he'll step on your toes. It's just the way it is. If you give him place in some area in your life, it's going to blow up in your face. How difficult is it to fix that stuff? It's not difficult. It starts with a decision. Repentance is a decision that I am going to change, and I'm going to allow God to help me to change. It starts with a decision. How do you get saved? You make a decision. Listen, yeah, it's not hard work to get saved. It's understanding the reality, accepting God's solution, and making it your own. Now, if you can get saved by making a decision, you can also get changed by making a decision. I don't know if that makes sense to you. That's not that difficult. It's humbling yourself, saying to the Lord, Lord, I confess, yes, I have a problem with my temper, or I have a problem with fear, or I have a problem with rejection. I have a problem with lying. I gossip too much. I can't sit with these things anymore. Lord, I want to change. Yeah, I am. Lord, help me. And then the Spirit of God begins to work with us. That is seeking God. And the reason we have to seek God is because there's some things in life we can't change. Let me ask you a question. Did God make gossips? Okay. Did God make people that are angry all the time, like want to fight all the time? Did God make us that way? Did God make cowards, like afraid of everything? We're always afraid. We have fear. Fear controls our life. Did God make you that way? Did God make people paranoid? Oh, this one is out to get me. That one is out. Did God make you that way? Okay, then can we all agree that something in life made you that way? Maybe a relationship, maybe a traumatic experience, maybe something bad that happened. You were not made that way. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So in other words, what God is trying to tell us is God made you perfect, and then life happened. And now you're not perfect anymore. But if God made you perfect, let's look at a car. I drive a Jetta. Let's say something really bad goes wrong with the car. It's like tuk 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 tuk, and it breaks down next to the road. That's life happening. Sometimes it happens. Now, what do I do? Do I just take a match and put it on the car and let it burn up because the stupid car doesn't want to go? Or do I do something to fix it? I do something to fix it. And normally it's not that difficult. We identify the broken part. It could be a fuel filter. It could be an injector. It could be one of the coil packs. It could be anything. We fix it. Brrr, there she goes again. We don't throw it away. Now, in the kingdom of God, it works exactly the same way. Sometimes life broke something inside of you. Will God throw you away? No, He wants to help you. He wants to fix you. But He expects you to come to Him and choose to change. Talk to Him about that. Tell Him, I'm battling with this or that or whatever. And He will help you to change. Can I tell you why you will change? Because He never made you that way in the beginning. You know, if there is a faulty part in your TV, you take the faulty part out, you put the right part in. The picture is clear again. With some of us, in the area of our temper, something went wrong. In the area of fear, something went wrong. The spirit of rejection comes in most of the times, even from birth or before birth. And it gives people that feeling that they don't belong, that people don't really love them, that they have to earn people's love and they have to work hard. And even when then people love them, it's like, oh, but there must be some ulterior motive. It's like, no, you can't love me for who I am. But that's not right, because that's not how God made you. And until we don't fix what went wrong, you're also not going to have peace in your life. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Let's take alcohol, for example. Why do people drink? Okay, you know what? Sometimes people just drink because they get drunk because they want to forget about their problems. They get drunk because it's a crutch. It's an escape. But also, all sorts of funny things happen when you get drunk. The next morning, it's like, oh, I can't believe I did that. No, you did. But you were under the control of something at that point in time. But did God make you that way? No. Probably something bad that happened in the past is making you feel this way. You know, sometimes, why do people take drugs? Because they need a personality. Because they don't like the personality that they have. It's just one reason, but it's a valid reason. It's like, oh, you know what? When I take this stuff, I forget about all my problems. I'm cool. I'm mellow. You know? I'm happy. Hey, Victor Cheech and Chong. Hey, there we go. Labrador. If you never saw the movie, you won't understand the joke. But anyway, here's the thing. What I'm trying to show you is, a lot of the things we battle with came because of things that happened in our life. Circumstances, situations we found ourselves in, the way people treated us or did not treat us. All of these things play a role. But did God make you that way? Look at your neighbor and say, God did not make you that way. Now, if God did not make you that way, and something pushed you this way or that way, can God bring you back to where you're supposed to be?
Yes.
This is what you need to know. God can always restore you. There's a blueprint in heaven that shows exactly who you are. That shows where your temper should be, where your self-esteem should be, where your guts and your determination should be. And it also shows how far you've deviated because of life, because of the way people treated you or whatever. And guess what? If you truly come before God and you humble yourself and you acknowledge that you are wrong, you say to God, Lord, this is not who I am. I don't accept this. I want to change. I want to be different. Guess what? The Spirit of God begins to work with you and He adjusts you. Some of us, we have some demons. Fair enough. There are demons of anger. There are demons of fighting. There are demons of bitterness. There are demons of unforgiveness. There are demons of fear. There are demons of low self-esteem. They have to be cast out. And then we need to be adjusted. Who does that? Only God can do that. Bible says, seek God while He may be found. You know, there's a lot of people that committed murder. If they sought God while there was time, they would never have committed murder. They had a problem with their temper that they never dealt with. There's other people that committed suicide. If they sought God while they had time, they would not have committed suicide because the fear and the rejection pushed them over the edge. But they had the opportunity to seek, but they didn't. I don't want your life to come to a point where tomorrow you got big dwang in your life. And you suddenly realize, oh, it's too late now. I should have been seeking God before. I want to talk to you today about the fact that you can start seeking God today to bring the changes into your life. You know where you're right and you know where you're wrong. Let's not get clever here. We know the areas in our life where we need to be adjusted. We know where we are not right. We know where we maybe treat people in a bad way or where our mouth is still not good or whatever. Or our heart is still not right. Today is a day, a good day to seek God, to bring about change. I want to tell you that the devil doesn't mind when you're going to mow the lawn or clean the garage or paint the house. But the devil minds when you start meaning business with God. Then he wants you to procrastinate. Then he will say to you, oh, you don't have to do that now. Oh, you can do it tomorrow. No. Why would you listen to him? Listen to the word of God. Satan will do whatever he can to try and stop you from seeking God. And often he will speak to you concerning seeking God. He will say to you, ah, no man, you have plenty of time to sort out your life. Ah, enjoy life first. Are you still young? Are you are entitled to have a life. You're entitled to have some fun. Live a little. It's amazing how quickly people can become agitated, irritated, impatient the moment you confront them with something that is wrong. I want to tell you, Jesus did not mince words. He called a spade a spade. Right is right, wrong is wrong. There's no gray areas. You either do it right or you're wrong. You do it right, you're in the kingdom of God. You do it wrong, you give the devil place. You give the devil place, you must accept the consequences. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he called them a brood of vipers. He told them straight, this is who you are. Sometimes when we speak to people, that's how God wants us. He wants us to say to people, this is wrong. Every demon in the area jumps up and starts to give you a hard time when you decide to change your life. Who can testify to that? You know, the devil doesn't mind you messing around, but ooh, you start going to church and mean business with God, all sorts of hell breaks loose in your life. But that's a good sign. it shows that he's losing control of your life. Just go through that process, it'll stop. Nothing lasts forever. And you're going to be much better off when you toe the line and walk with God than when the devil gives you a hard time. Amen. Satan knows that God can be found by every person if only they seek him. I want to ask you a question. How many times did something happen in your life, like you were going to go to church and then there was like a fallout or a problem or something? Oh no, I'm not going to go to church anymore. I want to say something to you. That morning you should do everything in your power to go, because something is going to happen. The devil might not know what, but he had the sneaky suspicion. He was like, I smell change. You are sleepy. Fight with your husband. Because he doesn't want you to go. Why? Because he knows that something, there's an anointing today at the church that can help you to change. Should you stay away? No, you should go. You know, that's where you put your foot down and you choose to be stubborn. And you say to the devil, Futsak, I'm going. And you do it for yourself. You don't go for your husband, you don't go for your wife, you don't go for your children, you go for yourself. Because you want to change. Because you want things to be different. John 8 verse 5, Jesus speaking says, but if you look to God, and if you plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now, He will rouse Himself on your behalf and restore you to your rightful place. Oh my goodness, do you hear that? I told you that we have issues in life because we deviated from who we're supposed to be. We are not where God wants us to be. Your anger, it's not from God. Sorry, but it's not. Your fear is not from God. Your low self-esteem is not from God. Your bitterness is not from God. Probably your sickness is not from God. Do you hear what he says there? I'm going to repeat it. If you look to God, and if you plead with the Almighty, and if you are pure and upright, even now He will rouse Himself on your behalf and restore you to your rightful place. Don't you tell me God doesn't want to put your life back to where it's supposed to be, because Jesus says He will. But He also says it only happens when we begin to seek God. If your attitude is like, if something happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You're not seeking God. Nothing will change. People's lives begin to change when they show God, I mean business. I want help. Your beginnings may seem humble, but so prosperous your future will be. Ooh. Did you hear that? I'm going to read the whole thing now because I interrupted it. John 8 verse 5. But if you look to God, and if you plead with the Almighty, and what are you pleading? I want to change. I want to be the person you want me to be. I don't want to be full of anger. I don't want to be full of hatred. I don't want to be full of bitterness. I don't want to be full of fear. I don't want to be full of low self-esteem. I don't want to be confused about everything. If you plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now, look at your neighbor and say now. Even now, He will rouse Himself on your behalf and restore you to your rightful place. Listen to this. Your beginnings may seem humble, but oh so prosperous your future will be. You know, we've been speaking about prosperity. And I want to say to you that this scripture puts a lot of things into perspective. It's no good you want prosperity if you're not willing to humble yourself, seek God, and ask Him to help you to change. Because it can't happen. And look at what he says. He says, even though your beginnings may seem humble, in other words, no matter where you are right now, your future will be prosperous if your attitude towards God and towards change is right. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, God says, I have a prosperous future for you. When does that future start? It starts today. How many of you can tell me that God can't change your whole life in a couple of days? Probably what God is looking for is that humble attitude, that attitude that says, no, I'm not always right. In fact, many times I'm wrong, and I want to be different. I don't want to be that person I want to be who God called me to be. Then your beginnings might be humble, but oh, so prosperous your future will be. God is the only one who can restore you to your rightful place. Many of us are sick when your rightful place is healthy. Some of us are miserable when our rightful place is joy and peace. Some of us have no hope when our rightful place is an unwavering hope and trust in God who makes all things possible. Where do you want to be? Where you are right now or at your rightful place? Because the Bible says when you begin to truly seek God and you accept the changes that God wants to bring into your life, He will restore you to your rightful place. Amen? Praise God. Many live in slavery when their rightful place is living a life of freedom. Many simply exist from day to day when their rightful place is living an abundant life. And some people will end up in hell when their rightful place is to be with God in heaven. You see, here's the crux of the matter. To seek God while He may be found really comes into perspective when you understand that some people die before they had the time to find Him. And that's a reality that we cannot escape. Seek God today while He may be found for salvation. Because time runs out for a lot of people that thought, oh, I got lots of time. I'm in my 20s. Maybe one day when I'm 50. Who says you're going to make 50? I'm not cursing you. I'm being realistic. Who says you're going to make 50? And if you're 15, who says you're going to make 20? You know, people die at all ages. You keep putting it off. You keep putting it off. One day you look for it, it's gone. There's nothing you can do. The greatest prosperity man can ever attain is to live eternal life with God in the radiant glory of God. You want prosperity? You need Jesus. You need to be with God. Isaiah 55 verse 6 to 7 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near." I have some good news for you. He's near today. While this message is being preached, the Spirit of God is busy moving. God can be found right here, right now. I want you to be honest with me. Who of you believe that there's areas in your life that you have to change? Just come on. Guess what? If you seek God today, change could start. It can start today. God is near right now, offering you salvation, forgiveness, freedom from bondage, change, restoration. Amos chapter 5 verse 4 says, "This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel, seek me and live." When God says seek me and live, what type of life is He promising us? Well, what did Jesus say? "The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly." God says in the Old Testament, "Seek me and live." And the life that He promises us is abundant life, prosperous life. Amos 5 verse 14 says, "Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you." Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled with God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You know, I can't put that any better, even if I tried. Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek God while He may be found." And that was written by God to God's own people. It was not a word to unbelievers, but a word to believers to repent and turn back to God. Things haven't changed in all the years that have gone by. Man still often drifts away from God. We follow after the lure of Satan, the pleasures of this world. And sometimes it's because of some calamity or disappointment that we have become disillusioned and we stopped seeking God. Then I want to bring you back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. There's no good reason why you can reason this thing in your mind like, oh, but you know, I don't have to do it now because probably there will be more anointing sometime next year. Probably I'll be in a better place to do that in about a year's time. No. Now is the day of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. It's your choice. But if you know that your life is not good right now, if you know that there's things in your life that has to change, I think God is talking to you about making a decision to let these changes take place. And I want to say to you again, it's not that difficult. It starts with a choice. When you truly make the choice and you open your heart, the Spirit of God begins to work in you. And your life will be better. Your life will be different. Change will follow and it'll be godly change. You're not going to go deeper into the pit. You're going to come out of the pit. Maybe for the first time in your life. Today when you hear my voice, says the Lord, do not harden your heart. Many times that's what we do. We hear the word of God. It's like, ah, that's nonsense. No, I don't see it that way. No, man, it doesn't work like that. Oh, it does. God is not a man that he should lie. His word is yes and amen. And for some people, because they keep putting off, tomorrow there will be no chance. I don't want that to happen to you. So today I'm talking to you. I'm giving you an opportunity to make things right with God. Some of you, maybe you're not saved. You need to get saved. Because hell is real. And remember something, hell was made for Satan and demons, not for people. It's a shame that some people choose to go there though. And repentance is not just about becoming saved, it's about changing your life, changing your heart. You don't have to live bitter. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be full of fear. You don't have to be full of anger. You can put all of that stuff down and choose to change. God will help you. Did the word of God speak to anybody today? Give the Lord a big hand. You know, in a couple of days' time, it's going to be 2017. I don't know about you, but I want my 2017 to be blessed. And I'm pretty sure that some of you here want at least your 2017 to be blessed. Do you know how we're going to do that? We're going to lay a foundation for change. And if that foundation is good, God will build prosperity. God will build abundance. God will build blessings upon that foundation.